In just a moment, Generations with Kevin Swanson. But first, this. The World View in 5 minutes.
It's Friday, September 11th, 2015 A.D. This is The World View in 5 minutes. I'm Adam McManus. Has man descended from the ape? This is the great hope of modern man. And almost every major news service has reported on the discovery of human-like bones in a cave in South Africa. It was a huge find of hundreds of fossilized bones in what appears to be a burial ground for these early humans. Evolutionists refer to this as a new species of human with small brains measuring around 590 cubic centimeters, one-third the size of the average human today. However, creationists point out that grown pygmies from southern Africa have measured between 600 and 700 cubic centimeters. Christian apologist David Reeves told The Worldview, "This is no missing link. These were intelligent humans who just found a place to bury their dead."
These things, they're saying that they used fire, that they thought through complex issues, that they had respect for their fellow man, that they crawled through a crevice in a cave to try to bury their dead. Now that shows incredible intelligence. Doesn't sound like an ape to me. It doesn't sound like an ape-like ancestor, and it doesn't sound like a pre-human ancestor. It sounds fully human to me.
O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth, for you have made man a little lower than the angels, and have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and all the beasts of the field, including apes. Psalm 8. Kim Davis, is pastor from Rock Solid Apostolic Church in Moorhead, Kentucky, spoke to the Christian News Network yesterday. He says Davis has been, quote, robbed of her constitutional rights, unquote. Fox News is no friend of Christ, as anchor Shepard Smith chastised Christians in a lengthy diatribe on national news Tuesday evening. He referred to Christians who take a stand against the sin of homosexual behavior as, quote, haters, unquote. Shepard is known for his homosexual liaisons, according to Gawker.com. Do I not hate them, O God, who hate thee? And am I not grieved with those who rise up against thee? I hate those who hate you, O God. I hate them with perfect hatred. Psalm 139, 21-22. Nagma Abedini is calling for a 21-day fast for her husband, Saeed, the Iranian-American pastor who is still languishing in an Iranian prison since 2012. After the President of the United States and the most powerful offices in the world have failed to gain his release, Abedini is calling for God's intervention. The point, she says, is to, quote, spend time in prayer, unquote. Nagma Abedini is scheduled to speak at the National Religious Liberties Conference, November 6th and 7th in Des Moines, Iowa. Learn more at freedom2015.org. The news media in the UK and the U.S. continue to record many testimonies concerning the beatings and raping of American women and Christians at the hands of Muslims. The civil magistrate is the minister of God to execute wrath upon those that do evil. These witnesses will be important in the decades to come as God's justice is accomplished in the world. Do they come here for freedom or for the free handouts? Almost 75% of immigrants make use of welfare programs, according to a recent report from National Review. The Bible presents a different vision for the poor and the socialists. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needs. Leaders from Plymouth Township in Massachusetts are calling for prosecution of residents that use the internet or cell phones badly, even annoy or harass others by what they call malicious communications. Who knows, but the whole town may be in jail by the end of it. The National Center on Sexual Exploitation is holding their national conference in Orlando, Florida this week. They say the pornography epidemic is leading to increased violence against women, sexual dysfunction among young men, and lifelong addictions, increased divorce rates, and burgeoning prison rates. The Dirty Dozen enablers of pornography, according to the organization, includes Facebook, YouTube, Cosmopolitan Magazine, the American Library Association, Verizon, American Apparel, and Backpage.com. Apologist David Reeves says have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. All things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. Ephesians 5, 11 and 13. He's the fastest tortoise on the planet, and that's not saying much. This tortoise from the UK named Bertie smashed a decades-old record achieved by another tortoise named Charlie. Bertie clocked in at 0.6 miles per hour. Hey, don't knock it. God made him that way. And that's the worldview in 5 minutes on this Friday, September 11th, in the year of our Lord, 2015. I'm Adam McManus. Seize the day for Jesus Christ.
Welcome, my friends, to the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with me today as I come to you on this edition of the program with the issue of evolution, one of the fundamental issues that has created a massive departure from the Christian faith and the incorporation of a worldview called naturalistic materialism. Pretty much dominates everywhere. And even those who attend church, often they're maintaining a basic worldview foundation in their own mind and heart that renders way, way more credence to a materialistic, naturalistic world than it would a supernatural world. They look out the window and they don't see God's handiwork. They don't praise God for what they see. They don't see that God is working through acts of providence and through his work of creation to create this amazing world around them. And therefore, when they make it to church, it's just coming at it with a naturalistic perspective and viewing whatever they're hearing as fairy tales on a Sunday morning. But that's because about 40, 50, 60, 70 hours per week is spent in a world that doesn't recognize God as the fundamental in creation. And that certainly is the case with the public schools today. It is against the law to preach creation, to give God any credence, to worship God, to fear God in the public classrooms. Although some do, there's a few exceptions, but not many. I would say at least 98 to 99% of those who attend schools and teach at these schools are not raising their hands and worshiping the true and living God in the chemistry classrooms. However, this evolution issue is just a fairy tale for adults. And I don't think I'm using hyperbole here at all, Bill. Bill Jack in studio with me. Bill's been in the war of the worldviews on this one for, what, 30 years of your life? But the theory of evolution has all kinds of flaws in it, and probably the most important is that there's no evidence for it. There's no evidence for transitional fossils where we understand what happened in the rock layers. We get the story of how macroevolution occurred and one species turned into another species over a period of billions of years. Over a period of, you know, 800, 8,000, 80,000 generations, figure about, you know, 40, 80 years for every elephant or what have you, and then multiply that times, you know, 100,000, and you're going to get up to about 100,000 iterations. I'm sorry, you're not going to get 100,000 iterations developing an elephant, and you have no transitional fossils to make the case. If the theory of evolution was true, we would have discovered billions upon billions of transitional fossils in the fossil layers, and that's exactly what we do not see.
But Kevin, don't confuse me with the facts. You got to understand that it's not the facts. The facts mitigate against the model of evolution. The evolutionists tell a great story. They have their story down. They don't care about the facts. They're concerned about their story. The model of evolution does one thing very well. It gets rid of the need for God. That's the point of evolution. Evolution isn't science, never has been, never will be. At best, it is a pseudo-science, like phrenology. Reading somebody's bumps on their head to tell their personality, that was considered to be science years ago, and we've discounted it. Evolution is a pseudo-science.
Evolutionists themselves admit that they have no evidence, friends. Ever since Charles Darwin wrote, as by this theory, innumerable transitional forms must have existed, why do we not find them embedded in countless numbers in the crust of the earth? That's Charles Darwin. And, of course, Dr. Colin Patterson, paleontologist from British Museum of Natural History and author of the book Evolution. So I fully agree with your comments about the lack of direct illustration of evolutionary transitions in my book.
If I knew of any, fossil or living, I would certainly have included them. I will lay it on the line. There's not one such fossil for which one could make a watertight argument. Okay, this is what they've all admitted, friends.
And
Stephen
yet,
Jay Gould said the same thing. The absence of fossil evidence for intermediary stages between major transitions in organic design, indeed our inability even in our imagination to construct functional intermediates, in many cases has been a persistent nagging problem for gradualistic accounts of evolution. Okay, they admit it, friends. They have no evidence. All right, the emperor has no clothes.
And yet, when I did a debate with a University of Denver biology major who went into medicine, he said, when I asked, give me a transitional fossil, he said, there's so many, I can't give you just one. They tell the story so well that they dupe students into believing this. And that's why it's important for us as Christians to teach people to think and live in accord with a biblical worldview. And if I may plug this, I'm doing a conference here in the Denver area on September 19th, 18th and 19th at Highline Community Church. It's highlinecc.org. You can register for it under their ministries section under the Christianity and Culture Conference. I would encourage people to come and attend. Andy Fry and I are going to be there, and we're going to be dealing with issues like this that affect Christians on a daily basis. How do we as Christians respond to a world around us that is so steeped in a naturalistic worldview? So we're not necessarily going to be dealing with the creation evolution issue or the origins issue directly. We're going to be dealing with it in the issue of how do we deal with the homosexual movement? How do we deal with worldviews? What is a worldview? How do we, as Christians, communicate truth and grace to a culture that can't think biblically?
And how in the world did we become so deceived to think the emperor had clothes? Wow, so many instances in which evolution has no backing whatsoever. Here's another example, friends. Reasons not to believe in evolution. Reasons to understand that evolution is nothing but a fairy tale. Anything we dig up, supposedly more than 250,000 years old, guess what? It's got radiocarbon all over it. We find it even dinosaur bones. The odds of even a single cell assembling itself by chance are so low, they aren't even worth talking about. I'm just giving you lots of examples of how evolution's a myth. How did life learn to reproduce itself? Another problem. Nobody's ever worked that one out.
And yet, once again, Stephen Jay Gould, who was a leading spokesman for evolution until he died, said that every fact must be interpreted in light of theory. So it doesn't, the facts aren't the issue. People say, just give me the facts. No, you've got to understand that you're seeing the facts through a set of lenses with which you've been fitted by the culture that teaches you to see them from an evolutionary perspective. We've got to go to the optometrist of Scripture and get a new set of glasses. We've got Christians who love Jesus with their hearts, but they're trained to think secularly, and so they see the world through that set of lenses. That's why we do Christianity and Culture conferences. That's why I want people to come to this one at Highline Community Church, highlinecc.org. Register today, come to it, and you'll be encouraged to think differently. And that's what this program's about. It's not just giving people a bunch of facts so they can go out and bash people. It's how do we, here's what it is. We're not to be conformed to this world. We're to be what? Transformed by the removing of our minds.
Renewing.
Oh.
Renewing of our minds.
I was quoting the culture's version of what a Christian is.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, Bill, there's been a number of recent discoveries also that seem to, again, mitigate against the evolutionary theory. And we've gotten more instances of this and more instances of this just recently. Dinosaur bones with soft tissue still in them after, 80 million years?
Yeah.
That's
an anomaly.
That's an anomaly. Oh, boy, they can't explain that one. And by the way, which evolved first, blood, the heart, or the blood vessels for the blood to travel through?
Somebody answer that one for me. Yeah, and if reptiles evolved into birds, the reptile's good arm would turn into a bad arm before it would turn into a good wing.
Right.
And you should find examples of that in the fossil record.
Hollow bones. How do you get hollow bones?
Yeah.
Which evolved first, the mouth, the stomach, the digestive fluids, or the ability to poop? Which evolved first, the windpipe, the lungs, or the ability of the body to use oxygen? Which evolved first, the bones, the ligaments, the tendons, the blood supply, or the muscles to move the bones? Okay, I'm just throwing out at least 10, I think I might be up to 15 reasons why evolution is totally bogus. Macroevolution does not exist, friends. In 6 days, the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that in them is. In just a moment, friends, another example, and we're getting more and more. The longer we live, the more investigation we do, the more archaeology we do, the more we find that evolution is a completely irrelevant theory that has no basis whatsoever in fact. And here's another example. Dinosaurs and humans lived at the same time. We find this
shocking
again and again in archaeological discoveries, including one in South America, in which some South American scientists have found a cave drawing in which we see a clear picture of a gigantic dinosaur surrounded by 9 Indian hunters. And friends, they've tested the ink. The ink is 3,200 years old, roughly the time of the judges. And let me say this. The time of the judges, we're talking Gideon, Deborah, and Samson. At that time, these were humans, by the way. Dinosaurs were still walking around this globe. 3,200 years ago. And a North American team finally made the investigation, and they've done scientific explanations, or they've done some scientific experiments on the ink used for these drawings. And they found them to be 3,200 years old.
Flintstones.
Pretty much it.
Yabba dabba doo.
That's it.
Doesn't that mess with your head?
Because
we're trained to think so much like an evolutionist that we can't help it. That's what we do. We need to rethink our position from a biblical perspective.
All right. Well, my friends, Vance Nelson is next on the Generations broadcast. I want to bring him on this edition of the program because this is an amazing discovery on the part of, yes, creationist scientists, but also evolutionary scientists are admitting now. Evolutionary scientists in South America who have done the testing and they have done the investigations, they are finally admitting that somehow a few dinosaurs might have survived from the
Mark.
Extermination that occurred
from the Ark
80 million years ago. That's what they're saying.
Yeah.
We've got a better explanation than that, a way better explanation than that. You're going to find it in Genesis 1 through 7. Be back in just a moment. This is the Generations Radio Broadcast.
Parental freedom, medical freedoms, religious freedoms, substantial freedoms. Are they going away? Will America look like North Korea, Sweden, or Canada anytime soon? What is happening to religious freedoms in America? Folks, this is the issue as American Christians approach the 2016 elections. That's why the Freedom 2015 Conference in Des Moines, November 6th and 7th. Register now at freedom2015.org. That's freedom2015.org.
And welcome back to the Generations Broadcast, friends. Kevin Swanson with you today as we talk about the creation story. And more we're finding that the evidence is substantiating a Christian biblical creation perspective on origins. And today we're going to talk with Vance Nelson, who has been working a ministry called Untold Secrets of Planet Earth. And these guys travel the earth and find some amazing stories, including one from the Amazon just recently. First North Americans to be down at this site in which they found some ancient drawings of what appears to be a dinosaur surrounded by Indian hunters. This is such an amazing story. And it's all contained in a new book called Amazon Expedition by Vance Nelson. Now Vance Nelson joins us on Generations. Vance, it's good to have you with us.
Good to be with you, Kevin.
Vance, great story. When did you guys go down there? This, again, the first team from North America to discover this or to at least publicize this to the North American world. When did the expedition take place?
Well, we went down late April of 2012. And it was quite the journey down there, and we got into the Amazon May 1st, 2012. And we worked together with a secular archaeologist who actually has a museum in Jaén, Peru. And he was really sort of the only guy that really knew how to get to the pictographs in the Amazon. And so we're questioning him, how long is it going to take to get there? And he said, well, maybe 2, maybe 3 hours. And Kevin, let me tell you, it turned into quite a day.
Okay.
By the time we get out there, it turned into about a 14-hour day.
Oh.
And for a Canadian, not really used to the heat and humidity, by the time we got out of there, it took everything for me to get back out of the Amazon. It's one thing to get in, but to get back out, being a Canadian used to a little bit lower temperatures and definitely lower humidity, I just about didn't make it back out of the Amazon.
Did you camp?
It was quite an adventure.
Did you camp out there, or was it a one-day venture?
I tried not to camp in the Amazon. I wanted to get in and get out, and we did, in fact, get in and out in one day. Fortunately, it was on the edge of the Amazon rainforest in northern Peru, not very far away from Jaén, Peru, which is in northern Peru.
Okay.
And so we were able to get in. We left very, very early in the morning and ended up on what they call roads, which were horrendously rough, and were able to get in, photograph and document this, and get back out in one day.
How much of a hike was it to get to the site?
Distance-wise, I'm not really sure, but it was several hours hike to get back in.
Okay.
We ended up in a very small village, which was quite interesting, and I noticed a gentleman there, and he actually had some of his crops spread out, and he disappeared for a while, and then he came back in a new shirt. And I thought it was kind of interesting. I later found out that he was the mayor of this small village, and we had an interpreter there, and he said, we don't get white visitors here.
Okay.
You know, sort of white people don't come here to visit us.
So he went to get his good shirt on.
Wondering what we were doing there.
He had to go get his good shirt on.
Yeah, he went and got this new blue shirt, and he was getting ready for these white people that were coming to visit for some reason.
Okay.
I wasn't sure why we were there.
But it was so significant that you were able to do an investigation on this pictograph, which involved a dinosaur surrounded by Indian hunters. This is an amazing picture, and I'm looking at your new publication, which I assume will be available on the internet, Amazon Expedition. Again, folks, Vance Nelson led the first expedition to identify this pictograph and to publicize it, and you did testing on it as well.
Yes, we worked together with Professor Ulysses Jimeno Huvara, who actually led us to the site. Now, there were individual archaeologists from South America, Central America, who had been there, secular archaeologists, and we had interviewed him, and basically the secular archaeologist who had been there affirmed the authenticity of this pictograph, but no scientific testing had been done. After we left, we connected with Dr. Quirino Oliveira Nunez, who works for the Peruvian government, and he does a lot of work in the Amazonas region, the Amazon of northern Peru, and he's the secular archaeologist for the government of Peru there. And he was really the only one who could get the proper permits to take samples of the pigments. Now, of course, up until this point, no actual scientific testing had been done. Now, when we publicized this on the internet, on YouTube specifically, we sort of wanted a timestamp, and that was one of the quick ways to do it. Skeptics sort of raged. You know, this is fake. The pigments are too bright. This couldn't possibly be real. Why? Well, because when you have a very clear sauropod dinosaur surrounded by nine hunters, one raising his spear, getting ready to spear this clearly living animal, these weren't bones. This was a living sauropod, very clearly. They have to say something, because dinosaurs and people, according to secular theory, didn't live together. But according to the biblical model, dinosaurs and people made on the same day of creation, this fits exactly, precisely what the Bible has always taught. And so we wanted a scientific test to settle this once and for all. Was this an authentic pictograph, an ancient authentic pictograph depicting dinosaurs and people together? And so we worked together with Dr. Quirino Oliveira Nunez, and he obtained the proper permits. And he actually sampled those pigments and also got the proper permits to export those pigments. Peruvian laws are very, very finicky, very picky about this. And we also got one of only two labs that I'm aware of in the States and possibly in the world to do a test that's called plasma oxidation in conjunction with AMS carbon-14 dating. Now, to simplify this, Dr. Marvin Rowe, about two decades ago, came up with a test called plasma oxidation. And what this allows us to do is to date the pigments themselves and not have interference of the rock matrix interfere with the pigments. We don't want to date the minerals in the rock,
which
can interfere. We want to date the pigments themselves. And make a long story short, we got the results of those tests. And the date came back 3,290 plus or minus 110 radiocarbon years. That's not equivalent to calendar years. But the bottom line is the pigments are authentic, dating back around 3,000 years.
Meaning post-flood.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning post-flood. This is exactly the type of results that we were expecting.
Mm.
And so these pigments were made after Noah's flood. And so people existed with dinosaurs, we believe.
Incredible.
They saw them and they depicted them in the Amazon rainforest after Noah's flood. This is exactly what we expected and predicted.
And
when you see the images in the book, there's no doubt what they were depicting.
And the size of this dinosaur looks to me to be, now comparing with the warriors surrounding this thing on the rock, the dinosaur appears to be about 25 to 30 feet long. Is that your estimation?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
You're looking at probably about what you estimated, probably about 30 feet.
Mm-hmm.
And that's interesting because when you hear the stories of Mikili-Mbembe, this creature in Africa, and you listen to the stories, for example, of dragons or post-flood dinosaurs, if you will, in Europe, these creatures didn't grow as big after the flood as we find their fossils in the fossil record from before the flood.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is consistent of what we see elsewhere in the world.
Yeah. And would you say this is probably the most incredible, the most substantial evidence we have seen of dinosaurs with men from anywhere else around the world, or are there other examples similar to this?
Well, in my book called Untold Secrets of Planet Earth, Dire Dragons, we see similar evidence all around the world. And this is interesting because we continue to quiz Ulysses Hamono Huvara, what do you think this animal is?
Mm-hmm.
And on the way back out of the Amazon rainforest, he finally admitted, as he actually did several times on film, of course, because he was speaking a different language, it took us a while after we got back translated, but he admitted several times that it looked like a dinosaur.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, well, what he believes happened was that the dinosaurs in this valley escaped extinction.
Mm-hmm.
And we find that a lot of evolutionists are now saying, well, it's possible that some of the dinosaurs survived the extinction around 66 million years ago. And so it's this whole idea of the survival theory. Well, the problem with the survival theory, you know, that they survived here and maybe one or two other places in the world, the survival theory doesn't actually fit the evidence. See, the evidence, when you take a look at my book, Dire Dragons, is that the survival theory is an exception model. It's an exception theory. But the evidence actually shows that we have dinosaur depictions indicating that it's a general rule all over the world. And so you need to have a model that explains dinosaurs living with people as a general rule all over the world. And there's only one model that predicts dinosaurs and humans living together as a general rule. And that's actually the biblical record.
Hmm.
That's biblical creation.
Very powerful stuff. Very engaging stuff. And I'd recommend Vance Nelson's materials to you, friends. Available at creation.com. creationtoday.org or kenhamsaig.org. Again, these books available to you. Amazon Expedition and Untold Secrets of Planet Earth, The Dire Dragons. And that's a very, very engaging book involving a discussion on these all of the various stories about dragons that you'll find in literature on the walls of caves, etc. from around the world. And we learned about what used to exist. What's really engaging about this, Vance, is that, you know, these are stories that that we don't experience today, but others like us ran into these dragons in the time past, including the fire-breathing dragons, And that makes for very interesting research, doesn't it?
It does. Now, there's one other aspect, if I can just get into this, is very briefly, Kevin.
Yeah.
In my book called Untold Secrets of Planet Earth Flood Fossils, we've actually shown, of course, a lot of people are familiar with the soft tissue, the soft elastic tissue, and that's presented in Dire Dragons. But in my Flood Fossils book, we show actual reports that many different fossils, including dinosaur bones, have demonstrated that they have carbon-14. And, of course, even according to secular theory, all of the carbon-14 should be gone after 100,000 years. And in my Flood Fossils book, we show a number of different dinosaur bones and other bones that are supposed to be up to 280 million years old. They still have carbon-14.
Hmm.
There shouldn't be any carbon-14. And basically the point is if all of these bones and all of these fossils were buried about 4,500 years ago, I just rounded off in the book, then they should all have carbon-14 according to the biblical model, and they do. And that's exactly what we would expect or predict based upon the biblical model of Noah's flood occurring just thousands of years ago, including the dinosaurs, including reptiles that are supposed to be 280 million years old, et cetera, et cetera. And so the more and more we look at evidence in the real world, the more and more we see that the evidence fits exactly precisely what we predict based upon the Bible. And so it just amazes me, Kevin, the more and more I get it into the world and the more evidence we look at and the more scientific tests we perform, that, you know, we have a faith that fits the facts. And evolution really is a faith, but the facts have failed.
Friends, the books we've been talking about are some of the most engaging creation books I have seen. Poor color, glossy, just beautiful, beautiful layouts, all part of a series called Untold Secrets of Planet Earth. Vance Nelson has authored these. And we appreciate the work you've done, the research you've done, Vance. Keep it up.
Thank you.
And you have been listening to the Generations Radio Broadcast. If you'd like to interact with the radio program, email me directly at host@kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.